Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning again, everybody, and welcome back to Today's Issues. I guess good afternoon for those listening in the Eastern time zone. It's 11:05, 22, 23, 24, 25 Central time here. And we thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. The program you're listening to on AFR is called Today's Issues. And joining us in studio is our own Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. I'm glad to be back on the air with you. I hope you had a good time in Israel.
We did have a great time in Israel. Got into Memphis from New York Friday afternoon, just ahead of all the storms that swept that swept the Mid-South on Friday evening. And you were just right around ground zero in Amory, Mississippi. We talked about this last hour. The two towns most affected by tornadoes on Friday night were Rolling Fork, which is, for those familiar with Mississippi, is in what we call the Delta area, which is near the river, not too far from the river, the Mississippi River. The other community that was hit hard was Amory, Mississippi, which was about 20, 25 miles from here, where you live.
I actually live in Smithville.
Which is
just about
five minutes from Amory.
Yeah, 5 minutes outside
So, Steve, you were telling us this morning in our show meeting what happened, what you experienced on Friday night about 11 o'clock. You want to talk about it? Please talk about that.
I'm sorry. So my wife grew up here in Mississippi and been through 100 tornado warnings and you know, close calls. She said she'd never been through anything like this. So, and this was a big, this was an E4. We got the, we were watching the TV coverage of the storms. You do that and everything. And they started, when the storms start sprouting and they start to know what direction it is, you can draw this trail where it shows where it should be landing in every given city. Smithville started showing up on
So you're watching TV and local television, and they're reporting on what the Doppler radar is showing.
There is a tornado on the ground, and it should hit.
Yes,
you that know, that in 20 kind of minutes.
Report, yes, that kind of reporting going on.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there watching this.
We're watching it,
and
it's getting closer.
And all of a sudden, they start talking about how it's heading toward where you are.
Toward my town, which, it's a mile-wide tornado, and, you know, the town is 30 miles wide or however many. So we're still not feeling that bad.
Well, excuse me for interrupting you. Smithville, Mississippi is not 30 miles wide.
It's
more like 3,000 feet.
I don't know.
No, I'm not trying to.
We live out in the country. We live out. We're not in the downtown Smithville area. We're in Smithville.
I'm just trying to. Anyway, go ahead.
We're several miles away from downtown Smithville, the one that got hit by the tornado years ago. Anyway, it's coming closer and climbing closer, and so the meteorologist says y'all got to get in your safe zone. So we did. The TV was going. We could hear it around the corner. Our safe zone is there's a little hallway that's right by our bedroom door. There's two walls there. There's the door, and there's a roof over it. There's no outside connection at all. This is what you're supposed to do. So we're sitting there, and we grab all of the couch cushions and the stuff we can get around us. The dog, who didn't like to be there until it started getting noisy, and then the dog started
blowing. Are you thinking to yourself at this time, is this really happening? I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, so you still don't know. I mean, you still don't know how close it can come or whatever. So we're sitting there, hunkered down, and all of a sudden it starts getting, like, you start hearing the wind pick up, and it starts getting really noisy, and then the house starts to shake.
When it gets real.
And that's when it gets real. That's when my wife started praying out loud, and we were holding on for dear life, and it got louder and louder, and it was shaking, and I was waiting for the roof to come off. I just
because you have a brick home, so that's
or a brick home, but it has a regular roof.
Right. The roof is your vulnerability.
Well, depending on how large the tornado, a big tornado can take down a brick home.
Right.
And so anyway, it got loud. It got loud. It was shaking. It was shaking. We were desperately hunkering down. And then it started slowly getting less loud and less loud. And we were still in the house, and there was still a ceiling, and there were still walls. And so we finally got up, and of course it was dark. I walk out, and the first thing I notice is that two massive oak trees are down. You know, when an oak tree goes down, it falls over, and then the root, the ball of roots sticks straight up in the air, and there's a massive hole where the roots were. That hole must have been 4 or 5 feet deep. Anyway, it was a double oak tree and then another place. I didn't notice until the next morning a huge shed that we had that's a wooden-built shed that's anchored to concrete base was gone. Had my zero turn in there mower, and it had a trailer that I carry the mower on, which is a massive trailer that was taken and shoved almost out of the garage. But my house lost a bunch of tiles off the roof. Other than that, no damage. And I cannot for the life of me figure out how.
Now, when after that did you realize the more destructive damage done just a mile away from how far from your house was the major damage?
A mile.
Okay.
A mile.
Where it started.
No,
where you started to notice the damage.
Well, the damage I noticed within 100 feet of my home.
Well, okay.
But, I mean, you could see where – you can tell where the cone of a tornado passes because if it's not in a – and in this case, it was through trees and forest, but the trees are snapped off right in the middle.
Right,
and they're just stubs sticking up, and you can see that something – everything's laying down and strewn and chaotic. That was within 600 feet – maybe 200-300 yards from my home.
Wow.
So I think the storm came within about 100 yards of my home. Now, down the road about a mile down the path, there were homes that were leveled in my neighborhood. One I saw had a tree that came down. The home looked like it hadn't been touched, but the tree was cut through it like a knife. It was laying level to the ground, and there was just this big tree width hole in the house cutting it in half.
Yeah, you think your house is well built until a big tree falls on it.
Man,
it just a well built house cannot withstand.
I've been in
the power.
A house that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
While it happened?
Yeah, about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Very similar day, like it was tornadoes popping up all around, and we're at my father-in-law and mother-in-law's house out in the country. And it's just, they live in a thicket of pine trees.
Yeah.
And pine trees are the first Limsy. To go. On
yes,
a,
they are.
Yeah.
It's soft.
So it wasn't, a tornado did not touch down, but it was around somewhere because it was high straight winds, mm-hmm. straight line winds. Mm-hmm. And so it snapped a tree in half. Well, the tree comes through the roof and then through the ceiling into the den. So our whole family's in there, you know, just waiting for the storm to pass. And all of a sudden it wasn't like Steve described. We're not in the middle of a tornado. It's just bad weather. And all of a sudden this tree comes through, through the ceiling, through the roof and then the ceiling and into the den. I'm talking about laying on the, like almost on the den floor. And it's raining hard, and so water's just gushing
pouring in.
But we were, thank God, nobody. Our children were small at the time, three of them. So it was three of our children, and Allison and me, and then my father-in-law, mother-in-law, and we were all, you know, waiting out the storm in the house. And all of a sudden, this tree comes through, and it was just like surreal. Is this really happening?
Right.
So nobody was hurt, thank God.
Though. Yeah. I'll send Brent a couple pictures that we can post on our Facebook page from my house. But this is what I want to say before if we can move on, then I move on whenever you want to. But I spent yesterday, I think you guys played a clip of an interview I did with a lady down in Amory. And so I was down there looking at the work that 8 Days of Hope was doing, because they were there right on the spot like they always are. And I walked around the city, the north part of Amory, where the devastation was. And I mean, what I'm seeing in my house is nothing. In fact, I was telling people there's going to be plenty of things for me to put on a list to tell my insurance agent about this storm. But I did not have 8 Days of Hope damage.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling very grateful blessed.
Well, have you guys, either one of you, ever been in a weather situation?
Well, I was going to say, because in Mississippi, we have a really good, we have some good folks on the news, local news, that keep us up to speed on storms as they approach. And I do remember our only safe place in our house, my wife and I, is our hall closet. And I'm talking about because it's not a big home, so everywhere else has windows, it's outside. So it's this small closet. And I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a tornado warning, which you're supposed to get in your quote-unquote safe place. So it was my wife and I. My daughter had moved in. This I think it was after COVID. So this was not, this is within the last 2 or 3 years. She was at the house. She was back with us. And we had our Great Pyrenees dog all in that little closet. And we've got our phone. We're playing the, you know, the local news telling us where it's at. I mean, could they get down to the street and where the tornado is? It didn't touch down, but, and so they were talking about, you know, 20 minutes, stay in your safe place for 20 minutes. And I told my wife, I said, I can't stand it in here. We're too crowded. I said, I think I'd rather die. So I got out of the closet, kept the door shut. And I said, you guys stay in there. There's no room. We couldn't breathe. And so anyway, that's my only story I have.
Yeah. Our house was fine, but this is a tornado that went through Tupelo back
2014,
and went out shortly afterwards. We have a business here in our hometown of Tupelo where they bring 747s, Boeing 767s in to take them apart and sell the parts. And I remember going out, and this is around the, just around the corner from where we live, and they had a couple of 747s there, and the wind had shifted them right around. Had taken those
747s
and shifted them right around. And then we found out later, just about a mile from where we live, and Tim, you kind of experienced this, we had visitors in town to AFA, and that went through their hotel where they were staying. You had
to I had to go get them.
You had to go
Get them out of the hotel because the hotel was severely damaged. Cars were tossed around in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. It was for 2014, and that tornado hit probably a mile as the crow flies from where we're sitting right now. Mm-hmm. It was a tornado. It wasn't as strong as the tornado Steve experienced. It was like an F1 or 2, but still strong enough to, you know, those tornadoes, a hurricane brings sustained winds of, you know, usually, you know, how they grade hurricanes now?
Cat four category.
Right? Yeah. Like a cat 3 hurricane, I think, is like 125 sustained winds, and that would probably be over a 2-hour period. I mean, it'd be great destruction. But you have an F, is it F or E?
EF.
It's E. Well, it's, it used to be F, which was the Fujita scale. Now it's the enhanced Fujita scale. So that, I think they go by E now.
You are right. Such a geek.
Well, you can looked it up. I just looked it up.
That's what they also use that at Japanese restaurants.
Yes.
For certain
spicy.
Kinds of, for certain kinds
this
of food.
This is an E3.
Yes, an EF3. Yeah. But they can be, a tornado can have like, you know, 175, 200 mile or even greater winds that come through in a matter of seconds. So right. It can, that's why it explodes houses. And you got EF. So, I remember.
And there's a miles an hour too. So
what miles? Well, what happened was in 2014 was that tornado came through Tupelo, and we had some guests here from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania that day.
Never been through tornado weather.
No, they grew up in Arizona and Pennsylvania.
Right.
And Pennsylvania will get some severe weather from time to time, but nothing like we get here in the South as far as tornadic activity. So they were at this hotel. I know what. We cut short our meeting that afternoon because I'm in a meeting with them. They're great friends of ours.
Yeah.
They fly all the way down here, and so we had let the staff go earlier because I mean it was a day like the other day where they were saying for sure tornadoes are going to hit within 50 miles of where you live in Tupelo.
Yeah, it's Mike and Debbie Hamilton.
Right.
Hamilton Strategies. They handle our media.
Yeah.
So they were down visiting.
Yeah, they were down visiting. So I didn't want to just say, hey, we're not meeting with y'all. You know, thanks for coming down. You're on your own.
Didn't you look outside?
Oh, yeah. We were at our building, and the whole staff was gone. It was just me meeting with them because I didn't want them.
Right.
Cause they, but
being
I can't,
a trooper.
But I can't really. I'm looking out the window. So I'm looking past Mike and Debbie. They're trying to talk to me about, you know, business and issues that we're dealing with.
Right.
That we're working with them on. And I'm sort of, I keep looking out the window because
it's getting dark.
It's one of those days where you go, the cloud is, the sky is like purple and weird.
It's eerie.
It just, I don't know how to describe it, except the sky is weird. Okay.
Yeah.
And looks different. And so I'm looking out there, and this is about an hour before the tornado hit. But I was going, I said, guys, you know, we're just going to wrap this meeting up because I want to go. I need to get out of here. I want to go on home and, you know, be with my family and everything like that. And you guys just go back to the hotel.
Right.
They went back to the hotel, and the hotel is right where the tornado hit.
Yep.
So Mike's describing this to me where he's in the lobby.
Because he's never seen a tornado.
No. Oh, certainly never experienced one. And so he said, I'm in the lobby, and the phones are going off, and people, and the tornado hits, and throwing cars around, and windows begin to smash, and he had to hide behind the desk, at the front,
yeah,
hide behind the desk where the person at the hotel,
concierge,
where they are. And Debbie's like in the stairwell coming down when it hits. Anyway, I called them. I was able to get them on the phone after about 15 or 30 minutes after the tornado hit, because I knew when I heard where the tornado hit, I knew that's right where they are. And I want to make sure they're okay. I call them, and they're like all shook up. Excuse the pun, the Elvis pun. Huh? Sorry about that. I didn't intentionally.
Right.
Try to be comedic right there. Anyway, so they're there, and I said, well, hang on. Just stay there, because Mike's going, man, cars are tossed around. Our rental cars tossed around all over the parking lot, cars on top of one another, and it's chaotic over here. So I drive there and get within like a mile of the hotel and then have to walk. Because of the destruction, I have to walk the rest of the way, and I'm walking over power lines.
Oh, so
what I did was really heroic.
I mean, is that what they're calling it?
No, I don't want to brag on myself. You know what I'm saying? I want to be humble about the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it was dangerous.
You rescued them.
I rescued them. I went to the hotel, and I did get them, and they're like, you know, shook. They're like, wow, this really happened? You know, surreal.
Because Mike, the way Mike describes it, he's saying, I've never, like you said, experienced a tornado. He's looking out, and he's seeing the winds.
Yes.
And he said when cars in the hotel parking lot
right.
started to flip,
right.
he said, that's when I realized I'm not watching a movie.
Right.
Something can come through
right.
into the lobby.
Right. So I went and retrieved them, and we walked back to my car, right, again, about a mile away, again, dodging power lines and things like that. So then I took them to the rental car place.
Yeah.
I got them a rental car. They were never so happy to get
to get out of Mississippi.
Yeah. So listen to this, though. I'm escorting them out of Tupelo away from the tornado damage so that they don't have to, you know, so they can get out of town, so they can drive to Memphis to get their plane so they can go back home to their safe place in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right? PA. So as we're leaving, as we're looping around the town, because, you know, I live here, so I know how to get around.
Right.
I see they're right behind me, okay, in their rental car, and they're just, you know.
White-knuckling it.
Okay, listen. I'm driving, and I see another funnel cloud. It was another.
You know what it looks like.
It was another tornado, and it was, like, right out in front of us by about – 2 miles. I could see it dipping down from the sky. And so I pull over in this parking lot of this veterinarian's office, and I roll down my window, and Mike rolls down his window because I didn't have time to get on the phone to talk to him.
Right.
I said, I'm sorry I had to pull you guys over, but I said, I saw another tornado. And it's not funny, but it's funny after the fact.
Right.
You can read, but at the time, and he just looks at me and he goes, Mike goes, man, I feel like we're in a movie, like Twister or something that. I said, well, I didn't want to keep driving when I saw another tornado dripping down from the sky. So that's why I pulled you guys over here, and we'll just wait it out for about 5 minutes and then go on. And then, so they got on the road, got back to Memphis, got back to their home, and they haven't been back to Tupelo since.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I think they did come back, but they don't come back in the spring.
No.
They'll come back in, you know.
Yeah. We're doing laundry in March.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know what? Laughing about that story, but when it turns your life upside down, you know, nothing funny about that whatsoever. And we know that people in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, and in Amory, Mississippi, and near where Steve lives. But what we wanted Steve to tell that because, I mean, it often we have our own reporter go through, like what happened
on the ground
there. You know, a lot of places that have severe weather like tornadoes on a regular basis, now people are building shelters. Home builders are putting shelters in the middle of the house.
Yes.
Right.
From the foundation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
Cinder block.
Well, either cinder block, yes, but below the ground.
Yeah, you go into the garage in a lot of new homes, and there's a little trap door, and you go down into, because the way they used to do it, you have to go out of the house into the shelter, and that could be dangerous. So
You know what? What was interesting to me is you could still drive in the countryside in a lot of places. People listening right now, again, who live in places that have tornadoes. And you see shelters built into the ground.
Little hobbit mounds.
Yeah.
Like from 100 years ago.
Yep.
Even. I remember doing that myself when I was a child at my grandparents' house out in the country. You know, they had a shelter and I've been in a few others. You know, you go in there, you go in these shelters though, that people don't go in, but once every 5 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
You put your life in your own hands with the spiders
and
the other kind of critters that may be in there.
Maybe snakes.
Yeah. I mean, it has its own risk.
Yes.
When you go into but those things aren't used anymore, really. People have modern day shelters. And with the advent of the Doppler radar now, with the warnings that we get, it saves so many lives.
Right. Because they are very accurate, like Steve was saying.
Yeah.
They draw that cone out. And they say,
right,
you know, 12:18, it'll be at this community.
Right. Well, Steve, brother, we're glad you're
safe.
I'm thrilled that God is
safe.
Good.
And
God is good to even the people that lost their homes, but God is good.
Yeah, I would ask people to pray specifically for the people in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, because that town's gone. And then Amory, Mississippi. If you want to know the two communities that were hit the hardest, those were the ones, at least in our state. I know the tornadoes also hit over in Georgia and in Alabama, and we don't want to forget about those folks as well, but that all happened over the weekend. Okay, folks, thanks for joining us on today's issues. We hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.